Magical Mara Designs is proud to sponsor this episode of the WDW Review Podcast. If you're looking for custom, comfortable Mickey and Minnie ears, check out our designs or send us a message at magicalmaradesigns.com.
Hello, welcome to the WDW Review, and I'm your host, Chris Malik. And I'm joined by my co-host, the most famous Nyman, Scott Nyman. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's so good to talk to you. So, alongside you today is Stacey. Hey, Stace, how you doing?
I'm good. Fine, thanks.
Yes, but we got Scott on the air today, so we're going to do something fun today. Outstanding. No, joking. Scott and Stacey, welcome back. Everyone's healthy. Everyone's well. Is that right?
Yep. So far, so good.
How many days have you been back from Florida?
This is day...
Six. I think.
Seven. Well, we left on Saturday. Today's Friday.
Okay.
We're recording on Friday, so... six, but we were actually home on Sunday, so, you know, five-ish.
We'll say five-ish.
Official quarantine, we're going to go Sunday to Sunday, yeah. Like two weeks. So.
When I watch people's trips, you know, when I live vicariously through vacations, I can honestly tell you that, like, I was completely jealous of, like, every picture you posted, because even though you're wearing masks, like, you can't see smiles, but, like, you see everyone's eyes are turned up in the smile pose. That was an awesome trip. You know, so I'm completely jealous of you guys. And really, that's going to be the show today, is I want to hear all about this trip. Because people are like, well, you know, it's still questionable whether we should travel. We don't feel it. You guys had great experiences. So I'm dying to learn all about them.
Yeah.
Before that, let's share. Give me something good, not from the trip, from the time home after the trip. Give me something good in your life.
It's just been good, I think, getting back. It's hard to not include the trip, but I feel like usually we're like, oh, I don't want to go home. This time I felt completely content to go home.
Gotcha.
And the kids really wanted to come home too, but it's not like they wanted to leave because they were bored. They just were ready to get back. So it's been nice getting back into somewhat of a routine.
I'd say after being in quarantine for all, not quarantine, but just like stay at home orders type of thing for all these months. And then going to Disney World and being in such a different, like all of a sudden free for all, like you're out there.
Yeah.
And then coming home, it felt right. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're back home again and you're comfortable. The kids were all saying, I missed home. And this is one of the shortest trips we've ever really taken as a family. And we did that on purpose because we just wanted a shorter trip and we heard about the crowds and everything. So this was just great. So coming home was nice this time. I had no regrets of coming home. Nothing that I was dreading. It was just good to be back.
Well, when you say short trip though, this was still a good length trip though.
Right? It was. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. We usually do like a 12-day trip just because, with traveling by car, you know, you spend 1.5 days on each end of the trip.
Mm-hmm.
And going down there with the tickets usually being fairly affordable. When you get to the 10 days, we just go all out and do a 10-day trip. So this time I think it was maybe 7 days we were in the parks.
Yeah.
So it was a little shorter.
All right. Give us a skinny. What was the worst part about being home? Not the trip part, but like once you're home, is it the laundry? Is it the ordering of groceries? What was it? What was the worst part of the trip?
Yeah, laundry was amazing because we had a washer and dryer at the villa that we were staying in. So that was great coming home with just one bag to have to do.
Nice.
But yeah, ordering groceries because we had an empty refrigerator. And with the quarantine, and I don't know if all of our listeners probably, some of them probably don't even understand what we're talking about when we're saying quarantine. It's mandated in the city of Chicago that if you travel to any of the, I believe, 22 states that are on the list, we have to quarantine for 14 days, risk high fines. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really strict. Our cat just jumped up on the table. It's really strict, the quarantine. So we're taking this very, very seriously. The order says that we can only leave our dwelling if we need medical attention. So can't go for walks, can't do anything like that. So we've been in our backyard a couple of times. Otherwise, we're home. So we got home and have to do a grocery order because it's our refrigerator is empty with six people in our house. It ended up being with tip and delivery, $360.
I was just going to say $400 easy at that point.
Yeah, wow. And that's from Aldi. That's not from Jewel. It's not from Whole Foods. That's an Aldi order, $350. Yeah. And I just talked to Scott this morning. I'm like, so we're going to maybe have to do another one or see if we can do a curbside pickup and have his dad just run and grab it for us because we're out of things like snacks already.
Yeah.
Like we're good with main meals and stuff, but having six people, we go through, you know, that bag of white cheddar popcorn didn't last very long.
So. A week at Disney World with all these snacks at our, you know, disposal. And now we're starving, everyone. We're a disaster.
I need more pickles.
We need 13 pounds of cookies. We need 7 boxes of... Oh, yeah. Let me know. I'll stop by. I'll pick it up and drop it off. You let me know. Yes.
How much do you charge, Chris? What's your delivery fee?
Zero for you guys. You just tell me. So when we get back from vacation, my mother-in-law, for a little bit of time, was staying at her house and watching our dogs. So she would, like, as, like, a welcome home treat, like, make, like, a lasagna and leave it in our fridge. So all we had to do was pop the lasagna in the oven. So whenever we got home, that first, like, homemade meal, even though it wasn't us making it, it always tasted like heaven. Like, oh, yes. This is so good. You know, you're on the plane all day.
My mom helped us out on the way. For us leaving, she fed us the night we were leaving, like the day before. So she had pancakes made for us and everything.
Yeah.
So she did that on the way out. On the way in, we have to figure that out.
We had Uncrustables that were left over in our freezer.
Oh no! So
that was our welcome home dinner.
I was supposed to be taking that with us to eat on the road, and I was about 30 miles out, and I was like,
Oh no.
Uncrustables. So that worked out, though. We had it when we got home.
All right. What flavor Pop-Tarts did you guys buy? What was your trip Pop-Tart?
We bought strawberry and brown sugar. And of course, as always happens, the brown sugar was still left over like tenfold at the end of the trip. We took some home. Strawberry was gone in like 2 days. So we only bought 2 boxes. We didn't buy a huge amount. So since we had the villa, we went shopping.
This trip, we actually didn't eat the Pop-Tarts that much because we didn't have to leave so early in the morning.
True. Mm-hmm.
Because the parks were open late. So a lot of the times we were sleeping a little later than we normally did, and we took our time. And
okay.
We had, like, the girls bought toaster strudels, and we had some granola bars, and we had a little bit more of a variety.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So no temptation to go wild with, like, the wild berry or, like, get the pretzel-flavored Pop-Tart or anything like that? No? I mean...
We're purists in our family.
What? What is this?
We've tried some of the other stuff and just didn't live up to the expectations.
This is, like, Pop-Tart heresy. I just want you to know this. So, okay.
And Chris, you're the freezer Pop-Tart guy, right?
Yeah.
I thought about, like, for 2 seconds when I was in the villa, I'm like, I should throw some of these in the freezer. And then I got distracted by something. So I'm going to still have to try that.
In one ear, out the other ear, right? So, all right. So let's talk about the show today, and let's talk about your trip today. So if you're listening, Stacy just got back from Walt Disney World Vacation. They drive down. You guys drove down. And there was a ton of logistical questions that you guys already prepared for. But, like, me sitting on the sidelines watching you guys, like, oh, my gosh, where are you going to stop to go to the bathroom? Where are you going to get food? Are you going to spend the night in a hotel? And these were things you guys had worked out. But if you're planning a vacation to anywhere, to the Ozarks, to Texas, to anywhere, like, these are realistic questions because even though we live in the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago, where we like to think people are taking the best precautions, it doesn't exist that way all over in different areas in the country. So, like me being a nervous Nelly, I'm like, you know, I'm paralyzed by that. I mean, obviously we're out and about and we're still working, but you guys had this plan worked out. So driving down, what was your battle plan to get down to the bubble? How were you going to manage that?
Well, our plan was that we were not going to get out of the car at gas stations. Scott was just going to do the gas, and we were going to stay in the car, and we were going to only stop at grocery stores or places like Targets to use the bathroom and get snacks and water, whatever we needed. And that worked great for the first stop. Okay. Then that was it.
Okay.
The rest of the time we did the normal stopping at gas stations and things like that. So.
Okay. And even we thought that Target and Walmart and places like that, especially Target in Chicago, they're really good at mandating the masks. So we thought that would be the way to go. But we found even at other locations around the country, it says that they want you to wear a mask, but people are not wearing them correctly, or they
are just not wearing,
are not
them,
wearing them at all. And nobody's standing at the door stopping them from coming in like they do in Chicago.
Gotcha.
So it's a very different world than what we're used to here in Chicago.
Were you seeing a lot of chin bras, Scott? Was that the look du jour? Was
a lot of those. A lot of
it just hanging off the ear.
A lot of schnozes hanging out over the top.
Gotcha. Okay. So what place did you find that you like walked out and was like, oh man, that was no good? And like, what place did you find that was really good? Anything to share with people?
Indiana was okay, right?
Do we really want to offend any listeners here? I don't know.
Not states, but like particular like locations. Like, I gave you the tip to go and check out those Loves, and then you you said to me, Chris, I think I might have just damned myself for all of eternity going into that gas station. So
we went to a variety of different gas stations, small and large, name brands and off name brand gas stations. And they were pretty much all the same. It was very hit or miss with the employees and the patrons. So basically, we just went in and went out. There was no browsing like normal, which saved us some time, I think. But
when we did stop at bathrooms, we went to the bathroom and left. So there wasn't a lot of picking up snacks for the kids like we have done in the past. It was just go back to the car after you've gone to the bathroom, hand sanitizer, and you're done. So
I'm a little disappointed because when I go out of state, when I enter into that Love's gas station, I never have a greater urge in my life to buy a CB or like a cowboy hat that's furled on the side, or like the brand new sword and like gladiator masks they sell there for like $179. I'm always so tempted. Like, I really need this. So I'm a little disappointed you didn't browse.
We did purchase at the Love's a neck pillow for Britta because we couldn't find ours before we left, and she was just looking really uncomfortable. Turns out it was way too big anyway, and she didn't even use it. But that's something I did purchase at Love's.
Nice. So I have the greatest temptation. I must have your travel mug. I'll never return. I'll never even get a refill. But heck, I need that travel mug. I don't know why that is. It's awful. So you got down there, and did you spend the night somewhere on the way down?
Yeah, we stayed in Kentucky. We went to Bowling Green, Kentucky, and we stayed at True by Hilton.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And those tend to be a lot newer and renovated because it's a new chain.
Gotcha.
Like the last couple of years, and felt like they did a pretty good job.
They did a really good job. But it was very clean, and we had two rooms because we should say that we had our family of six plus Sophie's friend Jamila was with us as well. So there were two 17-year-olds, 15-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 5-year-old for the kids, and then Scott and I. So we had two rooms. Girls had one room. Boys had the other room.
Yeah, and the only thing I had a problem with was walking in. The person at the desk had the mask down below his nose. And I was like, well, this is a great sign.
What in the world? All right, no problem.
Like super clean.
Yeah,
like
super clean.
Nice.
I was not worried at all once we got into that room that anything
should
out or anything.
If you check like the Hilton chain and like the Hyatt chain, and like you're looking at like the message, like they're super strong upon like what sanitizing they do for the rooms. How did like the next day breakfast was prepared for you guys? Like you had, it was grab and go, or
no, I think usually it is, but for during this time I believe that they were charging extra. I think it was $10 a person, but I did see the bags that were grab and go, so you just would, if you paid that extra $10. We didn't really think it was worth it for us to pay $70 extra for a bag. So we opted out of that. I think we went to Dunkin' Donuts or something, which we would have done anyway. So
Yeah, so it was $10. Okay, no problem. So Bowling Green, that's not quite halfway. You decided to go less than halfway the first day and then just muscle it up the next day and go all the way down. Yeah,
we actually, I dropped Stacy off at work in the morning and then picked her up around 4 o'clock. And we left at 4 in the afternoon. So that's why we didn't go halfway there.
And we did that purposely because we knew Kentucky was a state with that wasn't a hot spot. We wanted to stay over in a non-hot spot state. So we figured that would be a good head start to get moving. And then the next stop would be Disney. So
gotcha. Think about these things you're answering right here, these logistical questions. 6 months ago, would these even be like a thought in your mind? You'd be having to plan out your stop, not from being tired, but like thinking of, okay, where would be the safest spot, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's just, you know, everyone's dealing with it right now. So realistically, that's, you know, that's what we're talking about. But all right, so yeah, and at that point in the day, Scott, you're probably pretty tired once you reach Bowling Green. Like once you see that Kentucky state line, I imagine your eyes are getting pretty heavy at this point.
Yeah, it wasn't, this time around, it wasn't so bad. The traffic was a lot lighter than it usually is because there weren't as many people in Chicago out.
Oh, good point.
So, I mean, there is. It's not like everybody's not out there now. It's busier than it has been in the last couple months, but not as busy as rush hour should have been in Chicago. Okay. So we actually made it there probably like 10 o'clock, 11.
Mm-hmm. Everybody was asleep when we arrived there, though. All the kids were conked out.
Yeah. Gotcha. It was by far one of the best drives I've had down in an evening. Nice. So, you know, once it's getting darker out, you know, I wasn't too sleepy at that point.
Okay. So you drove through the Smoky Mountains about 10 o'clock in the morning, maybe 10:30 in the morning. You saw a pretty mountain view. And then you entered the godforsaken drive state of Georgia, which seems to last for all of eternity in mankind if you're coming from the north, right? Georgia is the longest. No, it's obviously not, but it feels that way because you're one state away, but it's like 6.5 hours to get through the entire state. So,
and then another 2.5 hours to actually get to Disney World.
Right?
Okay. You're in Florida. So.
But as soon as you see that Florida line, like this extra surge of like momentum is like we're almost there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So when did you check in? Your first hotel and what time of the day was it?
It was probably like 9 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock. It was late. It was dark already. I'm looking at the picture right now of going through the welcome sign and it was already dark, when we arrived.
Yeah, of course we wanted to get an early start from Kentucky, but then it turned into, I think probably 8 o'clock or so we left.
Well, you have a family of seven. There's no such thing as a quick potty break. It's half an hour to 40 minutes every time. Everyone's got to pee. Everyone's got to get food. You got to get gas, you know? So.
Well, and then also it was, I mean, our car was packed because we have seven people now. And then when it's packed when there's six people. So even having the kids get out of the car, climbing, the ones in the back climbing over everything, it was like forever. Right. Yes.
It was the clown car. Okay. Nice. So remind me again, was it the Swan or Dolphin? Which one was it?
It was the Swan. We had originally booked the Dolphin, and then we got an email about a week before saying that they had closed off all reservations to the Dolphin. They were moving everybody over to the Swan.
Turns out Major League Soccer was at the Dolphin, so they kicked us out for soccer.
Gotcha. Okay.
It was fine.
Yeah.
It was good. So we arrived there, and it was beautiful. It's a beautiful hotel, especially the whole lobby area. Our rooms were just kind of it was a nice hotel room. Great view. We were upgraded to theme park view, so we could see Tower of Terror from our window. We, again, had two rooms, so girls' room and boys' room, and it was
very
clean.
Yeah, and, I mean, it was basic. It was nothing themed for Disney or anything like that, so it was just it's a Marriott hotel, so it's pretty high standard as far as cleanliness and stuff like that. So that was fine. It was weird because we couldn't use our magic bands for the doors and to charge things to the room at that point because it's a Marriott. It's not actually Disney property, so or Disney hotels.
Gotcha.
So we had to get used to that, but besides that, it was a good location.
Yeah, we were on the 9th floor, so we had to take the elevator everywhere. I was a little bit nervous about that, thinking, how are all these people going to be on, you know, just a couple sets of elevators? But we never really had an issue. There's, I think, one time when somebody else got on the elevator with us. Otherwise, people would just kind of see that there's somebody on there and wait for the next one to come by. So,
and it was a strange feeling once we were actually on property, like at Disney World. It's not that you let your guard down, but it's like, okay, these are all people that seem to be healthy and we're all standing far enough apart and
yeah,
respecting the rules kind of a thing. So even in the elevator, you kind of go to the other end of the elevators and face the other direction.
Yeah, like there's signs saying face the walls so that you're not facing the middle of the elevator if you're on there with somebody else. So you would just kind of like have your backs to each other, which is a little bit weird, but it worked. So
I would feel like I would have a collective collective sigh of relief knowing that if everyone's down there, you understand the kind of protocols that are in place and you're going to have to abide by them. So you're like, okay, as opposed to like, you know, a knucklehead just being like, oh, I'm not wearing a mask today. Be like, you know, you kind of know the rules going in. So,
right.
Okay.
Yep.
Hey, was this your first experience even entering foot inside the Swan?
We walked through during one marathon weekend and just kind of looked around and stuff. But yeah.
We've never been in a room, obviously. We've been around the property, though.
Okay. So. Let me ask you a comparison question. If that room costs $150 a night, but Port Orleans was $225 a night, where would you stay?
Probably Swan.
Mm-hmm.
The Swan. Okay. If that room was $150 a night and Port Orleans was $175 a night, where would you stay?
Well, the problem with our family is, you know, the number of people.
Yeah.
So we'd have to pay two rooms type of a thing. And if we had four people and both of them, and you were saying the price comparison, location-wise, Swan would be the best one, I would say, just to get to Epcot. But the feel of Disney, I would consider Port Orleans over that.
Even the upgrade, the $25 upgrade times two, you'd go to the Port Orleans for the Disney feel. Okay, interesting. And some people, I have people that I know that enjoy going to Disney. They don't love going to Disney, so that wouldn't even affect them at all. They would look for a place that was a bottom-line price. So, but whenever I look at the Swan and the Dolphin, I've always wondered, boy, I wonder what it's like to stay there. And, you know, my experience at the Garden Grove was, you know, fabulous over there.
Yeah.
So I would highly consider that. I haven't done it at this point. Okay.
Yeah. And I think this time the rooms were about $160 each room at the Swan. So it was a great deal this time around, I thought, for a room there. Mm-hmm. So it was 30% off.
And I understand that 30% off was because you're a podcast host. It was going to be like $350, but you mentioned the show. And you got a big discount, right?
That is 100% correct.
One thing I wasn't super excited about, like on the website when I booked, it said, you know, all the fees and everything, this is the price. And then I get there and they charge me $27 a night for the parking.
Oh.
So when they say all the fees, I was thinking all the fees, but I had to pay an extra $54 for the two nights that we were there. So, and they actually charged me for both rooms, and I had to, I was like, I only have one car.
Holy cow. They upgraded you to $27 per room per night.
Yeah. So I was like, can you please take that off? And they did. It was no big deal. It was a misunderstanding, I guess, but you have to check your bills. So
there you go. So you immediately started going to theme parks on the next day, correct?
Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite stories of the trip was that next morning. It was like the surface of the sun hot. We exit the hotel and we go the wrong way. So instead of going right towards Boardwalk and just walking through Boardwalk to Epcot, we went left and walked the back roads for 2.3 miles. And then had to go into the Beach Club parking lot through bushes, climbing over and under foliage to walk through the parking lot. And then we went the wrong way there because they were having construction on their sidewalks.
Oh, no.
So we had to go all the way back again through the lobby and then walk over to Epcot.
It's an adventure.
Yet we made it there at 10:55 just in time to go into the gates.
Nice. Nice.
We were good.
And I was pushing Britta in the stroller the whole time. And it's hilly. I mean, it's super
uphill. Uphill both ways. She was pushing
that. No, but it was like you'd get over this hill and you're like, okay, why was that so hard? And then you look, turn around, and it was like they're pretty big hills that you're going around.
It was a horrible mistake. And when you take a look at Boardwalk once we got out of the beach club and realized, oh, it was literally,
oh my god,
like about 20 feet this way over this little bridge. And it was the boardwalk.
And we had been there before, so we should have. And I was like, Scott was way ahead because I was pushing the stroller. So Ethan and I were walking slowly back. And I'm texting him. I'm like, I think we went the wrong way.
And this is
like,
about a mile and a half in. And I wrote back, we did.
Oh, no.
So when I walk out the back, I look straight ahead and I look at the dolphin. And they have barricades all around because they're doing security for Major League Soccer. So I'm thinking that's where the bridge is that I was supposed to go to get to Boardwalk. So I'm thinking I can't go that way, so I have to go around it. Well, I didn't look directly to my right to see the bridge, so that's what happened there. So,
gotcha.
And he's so good with directions that I just blindly follow. I'm just like happily going along with my stroller, just following along. It's like, oh man, the one time I should have said, hey, this isn't right.
I take this one. That was a huge mistake on my part.
You know what, though? It's still, it's a good family memory because that's what you brought back from the trip. Oftentimes those crazy things are like, remember that time we walked 2.3 miles on the surface of the sun to go into the theme park the wrong direction?
Yeah. The other fun memory came from driving to Florida. We stopped at Wendy's to get food and Scott was ordering Jamila's chicken nuggets and she wanted sriracha sauce. And Scott ordered sriracha sauce, and the kids in the car, like, went wild. Like, they thought that was the funniest mistake in the entire world. And the whole trip, Britta kept on saying, Dad, remember when you said sriracha sauce? Why did you say that? So, like, those two memories are, like, the things we're taking away with us this trip.
Scott's like, yeah, that's funny. You want to live to see tomorrow, kid? Yeah, okay, very good.
Yeah, they didn't. It lasted the whole week. They kept bringing it up. Oh, so,
all right. So we're in Epcot. Well, let's do this because you've spent 9 days there. How many days did you spend at the parks of those? Every day were you at a park, or was there like a rest day?
We didn't take any rest days. We were in the parks from Sunday through Friday. So
okay,
Saturday through Friday.
So 7 park days.
Okay. How many nights at the Swan?
Two nights.
So logistically, you planned Epcot, and then what was the next night? What was the next day's park?
Hollywood Studios.
Mm-hmm. If you would have walked the right way, but you planned it well. No, I'm just joking.
And we actually did not took the car to Hollywood Studios that next day. We didn't walk to the park, even though we could, because we had to move hotels.
Gotcha.
So it didn't really make sense to walk to Hollywood Studios
in
a day and then walk back to a hotel you're not going to stay at. So
completely. Okay. So let's combine those first 2 days together in the parks. Mm-hmm. So surprised at the safety protocols, or it was what you expected? Crowds were lighter than you expected, or about what you expected? What'd you think?
Epcot was great. So totally empty, in my opinion. I felt extremely safe there. There was nothing, you know, people were spread apart so much there that people have said things like, oh, it's safer than a grocery store. Well, yeah, that's because you have space. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're outside most of the time at Epcot. And Disney did a great job with the line spacing, the markings. Mm-hmm. So with our family of 7, we actually took up about 2 line markings. So we actually had about 12 feet among all of us.
So what we would normally do is first part of the group would stand on the first line. The second part of the group would stand on the back line.
Okay.
So we had space that both directions.
Yeah. So we felt good with our little line bubble. And then when there were lines coming in opposite directions, they would space the line even further apart so that you wouldn't be next to somebody in the next line. So
or they
were even
put
thinking,
plastic barricades up too.
Right. Where it was just a loop around, you know, within 6 feet of each other.
Gotcha.
They would put actual plexiglass up and
okay.
So. But I think we should talk a little bit about the security check as well and the temperature check.
Let's do it.
Those were so well done. They got us through those things so fast. you'd go through and hit a temperature check first, and you just go into the tent. They usually would have three cast members spaced out. You'd go into the tent. Each member of your family would stay together, and they would just scan all the foreheads as you walked through. I had one day where they had to scan me a couple times. They did it twice on my forehead and then once behind each ear. But she, and I couldn't hear her exactly what she said. She said it had to do with my hat that I was wearing, that sometimes that will cause problems. But she's like, no, you're totally fine. And I almost was having a heart attack. So I'm like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me?
I'm not with her, you know?
Well, and that's the thing, I was by myself. So I was just thinking, I'm like, okay, if I have to get separated, they're going to all go on and leave me here. But then the security check, and I don't know if this is something that they're doing. Obviously, they put this in place because of COVID. I don't know if this is something they're going to be keeping, if this is more secure or as secure or less secure, but it's a touchless bag system for the most part. You don't stop at a bag check. You take out any metal water bottle, any umbrella that you might have, and you hold it over your head when you walk through the metal detector, but otherwise they're able to, your bags are scanned somehow
as
you're going through. What was that?
Like the airport. They have the same thing. It's a metal bag. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, yeah. So
we don't know. We haven't flown in like years.
But it was amazing. So, and there was one, I think one time they had to make me go off to the side to go through my bag. And I can't remember why that was. And I don't remember which park it was at. But
it was probably the nunchucks.
Yeah. The switchblade, Stace. The switchblade you carry around for shaking.
They had to go off in the metal detector for me, and that's why they had to then go through my bag or something. I don't remember what it was, but it was one of the very first days. And after that, we never had our bag checked. But the one thing that was helpful, and I don't, maybe this was one of the reasons why, the only bag that I was carrying was a mesh bag attached to our stroller, so you could see through it.
Nice, smart.
It was. They didn't have to, but our girls were using backpacks, and I don't think that they ever got stopped either. So,
Yeah, for a while there with the temperature checks, I thought they were just making noises. It wasn't even real. They were going beep, you know, like just scanning people's heads and pretending like they're safe.
Yes.
But when they had to do a double check on Stacey, I knew they were actually taking temperatures.
Yeah.
So I had someone do that to me at Resurrection Hospital, and they scanned my neck. And mm-hmm. I thought, wait a minute, hang on. I didn't know that was a viable, like source for temperature. Like, the guy literally stuck it on my neck. I was like, all right, if that's what you guys are safe with, we're good, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure there's going to be lots of technology coming out, you know, in terms of stuff, so.
Nice. And this is where you entered, you entered at the International Gateway, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where they do it at the Gateway. Very good.
Yeah, they do the Gateway, and obviously, yeah. We actually never went in through Epcot at the front gate this trip. We only did International Gateway.
Gotcha. Okay, so the studios, though, when you said Epcot was great, you intentionally said the word Epcot, but you didn't say the word studios. Why is that? Why is that? I mean, how was dinner? The food was good, but, you know, so.
It was a little bit busier. It was a lot busier at the studios. There were times at the studios when I was looking around thinking this is kind of like a low crowd day in the summer. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of space in certain areas. Okay.
And this was just the start of the day, though.
Like, yes, that is true.
Once you were through the lines, because everybody's there for Rise of the Resistance to try and get their virtual queue at 10 o'clock in the morning. So everybody has to be in the park. So you're in there with everybody, and some people aren't being smart, and they're just like brushing past you pretty quickly to be ahead of you.
To get to Slinky Dog.
To get to things. And, you know, they did get people to line up pretty quickly once you were closer to the tents. They're like, spread out. But
gotcha.
It was the parking lot to get to the health, you know, the temperature checks and things like that. That was a little more intense.
Gotcha.
But then throughout the day, once you're in the park and you've spread out, it all kind of goes away there too.
Yeah, I would say rope drop was when it was very busy. It felt just normal, like a normal. And it was like, oh, no. But Hollywood Studios, things are so much narrower in pathways and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was, but yeah, but otherwise, I mean, then once, as the day progressed, really Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway was the only attraction that I saw that was, people were having to wait for a while. We did not go back to Slinky Dog after our first rope drop day, but that one was lengthy too. But everything else was 10 minutes, but really you were walking straight on. Millennium Falcon was 10 minutes. Toy Story Mania, you could just keep on going around and around and around, never stopping. Yeah,
one of the times we went to Millennium Falcon, Smuggler's Run, right? It's mm-hmm. the real name, right? Mm-hmm. It was up to about 40 minutes. It set up on the, on the yeah. standby entrance. But it's never really as long as they say it is, because I think they're still doing it from the distance kind of a thing. Like yeah. if you're here and the line ends, it's 40 minutes, but you have this 6 feet apart.
Sure.
Between people. So.
And the Millennium Falcon, that's like a 20-minute walk if no one was in front of you.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
the actual physical walk would be 15 minutes, you exactly. know, up and down the stairs and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you've gotten through Epcot. You got through the studios at this point. Did you do everything you guys want in a reasonable time frame? Easy enough that you left in the middle of the day and came back? Or like, I mean, we'll talk about Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom in a minute, but so, prepare people for the timing.
Epcot, we got through everything pretty quickly. And Epcot's one of the places, though, you could drag yourself throughout the whole day and make yourself miserable going to the countries in the middle of the afternoon.
Gotcha.
And, that's your own pace kind of a thing. So
it was
hot.
So hot. It was so, and I know everybody's going to say it's because of the masks. It would have been.
It's August.
Hot without the masks.
It's true.
It was just really, really hot. And so we were pretty much, I don't think we closed any parks any of the days that we were there.
No. And August in Chicago and July in Chicago has been miserable. Like it's been 90s leading up to our trip.
Yeah.
So even being outside without a mask in the yard, it's pretty nauseous. You go to the park here, it's just hot.
Yeah.
And, but sure. we did not have to wait for anything at Epcot at all.
The only thing was at Epcot that we had to wait for was Test Track, but that was because we got in line right as they were cleaning the ride vehicles, and it was like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
But they told us, they're like, sit down, just sit on the floor. It's going to be about 25 minutes. Just relax. And since you're socially distanced, you're spread out, and it's real nice to be able to do that.
Yeah. So that's the new thing as well is, they're going to be cleaning things, and it does take a good 20 minutes sometimes if you're stuck in a line.
Gotcha.
While you're cleaning.
And so, that might have been what happened with Millennium, with Smuggler's
Run. They might have been cleaning the vehicles out. But Hollywood Studios, we did not get the Rise of the Resistance at 10 o'clock. It literally 10 to 15 seconds, it was gone.
It was maximum of 10 seconds. It was gone. People are reporting it's gone in 2 seconds wow. at times. So.
And with us trying to get 7 people, click through 7 and then hit the queue, it did not work well. So we ended up with the 2 o'clock. They have 2 queues now, a 10 o'clock and a 2 o'clock. And we were able to get a really late, group number, mm-hmm.
Boarding pass. Yeah.
And we got in there about an hour before the park closed. So that one we did close that night.
That's true.
We got stuck in there because, yet again, Rise breaks down. And once you're in the room with the stormtroopers, the cast member told us, you're going to be fine. Nobody else is coming behind you, and we're going to let you ride. So they get to ride up and going as long as you're in there, they say.
Okay.
I don't know if that's always the case or if it's just a matter of if it's nothing catastrophic, they'll get you through again. They'll restart the ride and they know you've been waiting there for so long. So
we had a lot of cool comments up to this point, but I only want to read this one, and it's by Facebook user. So, but at the end of the trip, did you feel you got your money's worth or more than your money's worth considering the small crowds? So that's a great question. So let's touch base on that though at the end of the report though.
That's
so
perfect.
All right. So we're through two parks. Magic Kingdom was the third day or the fourth day?
It was the third day.
And you checked into a different resort, right? You were going to Old Key West, if I remember correctly, right?
Yep, we went to Old Key West. We actually went there while we were at Hollywood Studios. We got our boarding pass, and we were done. Like, we didn't have anything else to do. And so we knew that we would probably have at least 2 hours before our boarding pass was called, even if it was ever called, because it's not guaranteed after a certain number. So we decided to go to Old Key West to see if our rooms were ready at that point. And we went and they were ready. So we got a little bit of extra magic. We had booked two studios and turns out that they gave us a studio and a one bedroom connected. So we had a two bedroom.
Two bedroom lock off.
Yeah. So the girls, Sophie and Jamila, had their own. They had the studio portion and then the rest of us were in the one bedroom. And it was so, so wonderful to have the washer and dryer. But we... we're used to having a huge front loader or a huge top loader washer with no agitator in the middle. And so we put so many clothes into our washer and dryer. So we get there and all of a sudden Scott's like, these clothes aren't drying. And I mean, they were soaking wet when they came out of the dryer still. And we're like, oh, okay. Cause we're used to putting.
Well, the dryers there are huge.
Yeah.
So like in my mind, I'm thinking you could put as much in the washer as you can, because then the dryers are used.
It's struggling to make one revolution.
I think it took like three times the dryer for one load to get done. So after that point, like we
One day I actually did like three loads and I was putting the wet clothes into the clothes.
So you're the one that's breaking all the dryers.
So then I go to like the ones by the pool. To the dryers, and I put them in like three different dryers.
Gotcha.
Because I'm like, this is going to be quicker than me waiting around the one bedroom. So I went, threw them in there, and they were done in an hour.
But then after that, we learned. Like, we were smart. We were like, only put a quarter of what we just did into that wash and dryer. But yeah, so it was huge luck and just great Disney magic to get that upgrade. And we were pretty close to the main building. Walking distance to the pool, and Old Key West is such a huge resort that was a really good, it was a good place for us to be.
I'm pretty sure they bumped most people up to the hospitality area though. I don't think there was
that many people staying there overall.
So. Upgrades seem to happen all the time right now. When people go down, there's just so much space. It's like you get an upgrade and you get an upgrade and you get an upgrade. Yeah. So it happens. But I wanted to stop because you mentioned the washer and dryer, and people are like, yeah, I don't want to do laundry on vacation. And I cannot stress how cool and what a nice feature that is, especially if you're going to sit there and have lunch or dinner. Like, a load takes 45 minutes and 45 minutes, and you're done. And people are like, yeah, it's laundry. I get it. You don't understand. When you go on vacation, logistically, you wear your coolest outfit on, like, day one or day two. By day four, you're lucky to find two socks that match, for goodness sakes. And all of a sudden, you're like, yes, I get my best clothes back again. You know, so I know it's all like a big dorky thing, but having a washer and dryer to simplify that load on the way home, oh, it's so nice. It's so crucial. So
not just that, we told everybody just to bring like five pairs of clothes because we knew we would have the washer and dryer. So the packing was not as bad. Like, I think we did better this time with seven people than we've ever done with the six of us.
Yeah, I agree.
So.
Nice. We made a point that if we ever go down and we're staying in one bedroom, we just bring like 2 or 3 days of clothes. And that's all we need, you know, and we'll just keep on doing laundry. It's like, yeah, but you're not doing it. They're like lunchtime and dinner time and before you go to bed. It's all good.
Throw it in, yeah.
Right? Cassandra says, we stayed one night at Old Key West and I swear they had the best shower. What about the
shower? They did. It was a nice shower. It was like one of those like rainforest head things, and then it had the spigot thing that you could pull off, so made washing Britta's hair very easy. So
nice. Okay, so you're up by a hospitality house, and that resort, people like it because it's the low point value, but it truly feels like the coolest community non-resort feel type, you know, in all of the resorts, because you stay at Grand Floridian, it's a building. You stay at Bay Lake, it's a building, you know, but this feels like, oh, this little house here. Awesome.
It's a beautiful resort. We really love it.
I'm a huge fan of like Animal Kingdom just because you're immersed in that. And I've never really been a big fan of Saratoga or Old Key West. That feeling you're talking about, like the community, just like it could be a condo, you know, like in Florida, like just something you would see, not necessarily Disney, but just a condo you'd see down there. But I really liked it this time for the fact that
space.
Yeah, there's nobody. I saw maybe like five people around the hotel, not at the pool, but like actually around the rooms the whole time we were there. So that made me feel good about traveling during COVID, is just not having people around me.
Gotcha.
So,
Stacy, if I ever buy a condominium in Florida, then Scott's not invited because he just knocked all Florida condominiums. Right? He's not going to. You're not invited. I'm just telling you right now, Scott. So. All right. So when was Magic Kingdom? Day three or day four?
That was day three.
Okay. Magic Kingdom. And, tell me about
it. Yep. It was really fun going in, seeing very empty Main Street, going down Main Street. I'm looking at our pictures right now just to see. I didn't take too many pictures. We normally go to Peter Pan first. Like, that is our tradition. We decided that we were going to go to Pirates and Adventureland first when we did the Jungle Cruise, the first ride. And I have pictures that we'll have to post. I mean, it is empty. There's not a single person in these photos of Adventureland. That was a very nicely spaced out park.
It was a little crowded around Splash Mountain and Big Thunder.
Because that's that whole area where there's no...
It's the dead end. Yeah, it's the dead end. I think
that's the most crowded place in Magic Kingdom. And
it still wasn't as bad as it normally is.
Right. We went on Splash Mountain after Pirates, and you're still spaced in that six feet apart, but there's a lot more winding back and forth. So when people weren't being 100% like sticking to the 6 feet, they'd sometimes be closer to you than they should be.
Gotcha.
So I wasn't super excited about that. And Big Thunder Mountain as well, because you're going through such a tight turnstile. They did have like the sneeze guard, plexiglass stuff up between the lines, but it still felt tighter than I would have liked it to have been. But the rest of the park was...
And I should say that any interactive features in any of the queues were not functional.
Okay.
So any of them. So like Test Track, you can't make your own car. Big Thunder, there's nothing to touch, no knobs to turn and things like that.
Oh, you can still touch it. They just don't do anything.
Right, exactly. Wow. And we'd be like, touch, don't touch.
In Test Track, that's like the best part of the attraction is the designing of your vehicle. I still have pictures from like three times ago of the vehicle that Beatrice designed, you know?
Yeah, that was definitely a little downside to that, but...
But you don't stop in that room either anymore. They just take you straight through.
Well, they take you straight through, but then wind you back through the other room. So that was weird. Like, you actually go up and down where you would make your cars.
Okay.
So they made it into a bigger line.
It worked.
What's your cue? What is your trigger, besides foliage? What is your trigger once you're in the theme parks? Is it the sight, sound? Is it like the smell? Or like what like gets you like goosebumps when you walk in the park?
I think the sound, just like the music that's playing, that always just brings everything together.
What about you, Stace? What is it?
I think it's a good combination of everything. But I agree, probably sound, because that's why I like listening to background music and things like that too. You get transported into those places. But I do also like the sights, and I did notice that even though there were so few people, that's so cool and stuff, you kind of start to miss people too. You know, it's it sometimes felt like, oh, where's the crowd type of a thing. Like, I kind of want the crowd there just for the background, but I don't want them to be in my way when I'm going into a queue. Like, they can all kind of be like sitting on a bench. But
well, Disney people watching is kind of an attraction on its own right there. You see some things that it's like you go scratch your head and be like, I have never seen that before in my
Carly life. And Jeff Positano really like people watching at Disney. They were very sad that I didn't get more people pictures on this trip. And it's like, I think it's because I live in Chicago and we see people all the time that maybe are outside what you would normally see.
Yeah.
So I don't even notice them. It's just like, oh, yeah, that's just another person wearing a, you know, trash bag for a hat.
Exactly.
You know,
whatever. I remember walking through, like, Innovations East and, like, West, and, like, you hear the Epcot music loop playing, and, like, you get goosebumps, and you're like, I listen to this every day, and it's hard to believe, like, this sounds really dorky. It's hard to believe I'm actually here. Because I listen to this every day, and now you're listening to the source music at the source.
Yes.
So I agree with you guys. And like when you hear the train whistle, or you hear Big Thunder Mountain's train as it's going up and down, you're like, wait a minute, no, that's actually it. Yes. And there is like a little moment of like, even at in our 40s, like pinch yourself. Because yes. like you've had to take so long to get there. I mean, that trip down with all those kids in the car, you know, and like the annoyance factor at times for mom and dad, I guarantee it, you know, and it's like you've earned that vacation. So right. really, really cool.
I would say the kids were really good this time.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Like they're well-traveled, like car travelers. So they've got things down pretty well. And this is probably one of the best. No incidents like Indy Disney meet, no hospitals where we had to go to with somebody's stomach being in pain or nothing like that this time. So, you know, we made it through and time-wise, it was pretty good.
Do you think that's because your kids realize like the magnitude of the situation that everyone has to behave themselves because everyone's under high stress and this is the one creative relief that we get in the summer? I mean, what?
A little bit. I think that, well, the girls, Sophie and Jamila, would stay up really late. Like the first night, they were up till 2 or 3 in the morning. And so then the next day in the car, they slept the whole time.
Gotcha.
And so I think that there was a little bit of that, just teenage sleeping type of a thing. And then Britta realized that she can play Minecraft on her iPad and not need the internet to play that. And so she was like silent the whole time. She was discovering Minecraft for the first time.
Nice.
So, you know, it's technology and...
Outstanding.
Yeah.
All right. So we're at Animal Kingdom. It's our last park. And you repeated the parks each like twice. So I get that. Your experience at Animal Kingdom, safety.
Animal Kingdom, we actually, that day, we got an opportunity to go on a tour where we were able to go park hopping around the park. So we actually went to Animal Kingdom from 8 in the morning till about 10. And then we went on a premium tour. And we were able to go from there to...
We went to Magic Kingdom for most of the day. And then we hopped over to Hollywood Studios for a couple of hours at the end. It was a 7-hour tour. We were very, 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 very blessed and thankful for this opportunity that we had to go on this amazing tour, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And we brought Pete Ponocorvo along with us as well. So it was the 7 of us plus Pete who got to do this. And our tour guide was named Tom, and he was absolutely more than I could ever have expected. He took care of us so well.
Yeah, and at this point, we've already been to 3 parks and been on everything we really needed to go on. We went to Animal Kingdom at 8 o'clock, and we went on Flight of Passage, Everest,
Safari,
the Safari. And the only thing we hadn't gone on there was Dinosaur. So we met up with the guide there and said, well, we're done with Animal Kingdom, except for Dinosaur. And he said, well, Dinosaur right now is being
cleaned.
So he said, do you want to waste your time or do you want to get moving and go somewhere? So we went over to Magic Kingdom because we didn't do as much as we were going to do at Magic Kingdom the day before, especially in Fantasyland, because we knew Tom would be able to get us on all the Peter Pan, It's a Small World, Haunted Mansion, all the things that were a little longer the day before we knew we were going on this tour. So,
and we struggled with whether or not we would accept the opportunity to go on this tour. We were thinking, will it be worth it? Because we still did tip the tour guide. We're thinking, would this be, is it worth our time? Is it worth our money? It's so low crowds, but it was worth it just for the experience. Number one, number two, Tom, his entire time that he was with us, told us stories, gave us history, engaged with Britta. And it was really just a special time, but it also was really nice to be able to skip all the lines. Like we got to go through the back entrance of Haunted Mansion and, it was like everybody at some point needs a little bit of pampering. So it was really fun to just kind of be like, yeah, we're walking through. Although I did not make eye contact with anybody as like he was like leading us through a fast pass line that was not being used. I'm like, no eye contact. Like, I don't want anybody looking at me like, why?
Yeah, we went on Splash Mountain again that day and somebody said, so what's going on with that? And Tom turned around and says, oh, this is a special tour or it's a premium. It's a, because fast passes aren't going on right now.
Gotcha.
And he's like, why is this family getting the to go around? He's like, this is a special opportunity. And so he's the one that turned around and told the guests, like, chill out, you know, for us on our behalf. We didn't have to feel super awkward about it. So
super awkward, nothing. Why were you not wearing your top hat, like monocle, and turn around? We're just better than you. You know, at that point. So, you know what? That tour is really cool, though. You see things, even on that tour. It's not worth the price, obviously, of the tour, but like to go in through the opposite entrance in the Haunted Mansion, like that's a takeaway that I may never see in my lifetime. That's,
right.
That's awesome, you know?
This is the only opportunity during COVID that we would have to park out. So that was like,
yeah,
we were able to go to like multiple things in one day, and that helped us the rest of the trip to be like, okay, we could chill out and relax and go swimming more often.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then he would take us through the back, through cast member areas to get to the van, because we had a van. That's how he would transport us to the different parks. So it was fun to go backstage. You see some of that stuff during races, but it was fun to go backstage and see different entrances and stuff like that. And I did take out my camera at one point to take a picture of the castle as we were approaching it. And he like turned around so fast, like, no photos backstage.
Oh,
I'm like,
gotcha.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Gotcha.
So I deleted that one real fast, but it was just, I was literally taking a picture of the castle.
We were walking, you know, where you would, by the Plaza restaurant, there's a sign that says cast members only.
Yes.
And you always wonder what's behind there. Well, we were coming from the backside of that into the park. So it wasn't like she was taking photos of everything behind the scenes. It was literally of the castle.
Yeah.
But the fact that you would see the backside of that is what they were.
Yeah. And I'm sure that he normally would have said, don't take photos backstage, but he probably forgot in something. But I was like, oh my gosh, I'm such a rule follower that I was like, delete.
She missed rule number 7I on the
Scott. Yeah. Stacey turned all hot and red and sweaty
I
and flushed.
So embarrassed. I was
so
like,
flushed.
I got yelled at.
All the kids are looking at you. Ma, what'd you do? You embarrassed us so much. So, outstanding. So, quick service, you ate reservations. There are so many more things I want to ask you, and I want to be considerate of your time today. So,
yeah, we were spur of the moment on the first at Epcot. It was food and wine kind of stuff going on, so we ate wherever we wanted to eat that day.
Okay.
Hollywood Studios, we actually canceled Mama Melrose because it's a small restaurant, and we were a little worried about eating there, but it was about 11 in the morning, and we're like, we're kind of hungry. Where can we eat? And Mama Melrose is available. And I figured it wouldn't be bad because we were the first people to open it.
11 a.m., yeah.
Yeah, so we went there, and we were the first people to sit in the restaurant, had a great cast member help us out. The kids loved him. They're like, we love Kyle. He's the best waiter ever.
We should probably give him a little kudos.
We should give him a kudos.
You're on the Florida Senior Citizen Dining Plan. You're eating lunch at 11, eating dinner at 4, right?
So we go there, and by the time we left, it was getting a little crowded in that restaurant. So I was glad we did the 11 o'clock when we did it. So
gotcha.
But something to mention about restaurants for people who are considering going or who have opportunities, who are booked right now, when you make your ADRs, if you book for your party, like let's say we have 7 in our party, we book for 7, you're going to get seated at a table for 7 with your party. But if you try to book and there are no tables available for your size, and you decide that you're going to break your group into 2 groups like we did, I had part of the reservation on mine, Scott had part on his. Normally, during a normal time, you can go there and ask if you can be seated together. And usually they will, if they have the availability, they'll figure out some way to get your group together. Mm-hmm. They won't do that during this time period. So you will be separated. At Mama Melrose, we had the same server, and we were very close together, like 6 feet at least. But every other restaurant that we went to, and we were separated, we had 2 separate servers, and at times we were like across the restaurant from each other. So just kind of be aware that this isn't normal times. They can't just put tables together. The way that they have the restaurant set up is the way it's set up. They're not moving your tables. At Wilderness, at Whispering Canyon at the end of our trip, we lucked out. We were able to get a bigger table last minute, but that's not probably the norm. So don't go into it thinking that it's going to work out that way. If you want to be seated as one big group, you need to have your reservation as one big group.
Gotcha. Yeah. Hence the nice relaxing meal that I saw Scott having several times with the boys, right?
Yes. Just nice. And mine was fine too, because the two teenagers don't talk to me. So it was just me and Britta talking to each other during those meals. Yeah.
So the original meals we had planned, like before the trip, we're like, okay, we're just going to do like four meals. I think we were going to do, Sanaa was one of the nights, Sci-Fi at Hollywood Studios, the Plaza Restaurant. Was there any other one? Or is that?
There was another one. I can't remember which one. Oh, Grand Floridian Cafe.
Grand Floridian Cafe. And we thought Grand Floridian's great because you'll go to a resort and it's usually pretty empty. They'll seat you far away from people.
And it was.
And it was.
Good tip there. Go to a resort because, yeah, it'll be low attendance in the first place at the resort. Yeah good tip.
Yep. Sanaa was good. They have like a pretty good flow, like a walking flow. Mm-hmm. So you come in one way, leave the other, and there's good spacing. The Plaza we actually canceled because it was one of the last days we were there, and we actually switched. We were supposed to be at Magic Kingdom that day, but we switched to Animal Kingdom because we only had those 2 hours in Animal Kingdom before the tour. So we wanted to have a longer time at Animal Kingdom. Just to enjoy the environment, not just the rides.
Back up to Sanaa. Did you have the bread service?
We did.
The Roman carb orgy, essentially. It's amazing, isn't it? You would never think you'd be so good. And if you've not ordered it, immediately you're like, can I have more of these sauces? You know, and you're trying. It's so good.
That one, we actually had a stressful evening because Ethan wasn't feeling super well. And we're like, oh no! Oh no!
It was his stomach. It was nothing else. That was
but he's sitting there like with his head down. He's like, and the server comes up, and we're thinking, well, this is awkward. This kid's obviously looking sick here.
And I was just not even thinking. I'm like, he's not feeling very well. And I'm like, oh my gosh! So I had to be like, it's his stomach. It's his stomach. I overshared everything.
2319, right?
So that's where we saw Michelle Hook there, because she saw Scott taking Ethan to the bathroom. And so she's like, I think I just saw your husband. Are you at Sanaa? So that was fun seeing her there. But so we kind of just ate quickly, not really even full meal, and got everything else to go.
Yeah, he was very much ready to go back to the hotel. He was debating whether he was going to come with us.
Yeah.
And he decided to, and he probably shouldn't have. So he ended up feeling all right by the next morning.
Still, resort hopping still very much a thing, though. Not necessarily like, you know.
We went one night to the night we went to Whispering Canyons. We didn't have a reservation. Mm-hmm. So we were going to go there and just see if we could get one. And we had to use somebody's name that we knew was there.
Scott Gardner.
Okay.
We said, yeah, we're here to visit Scott Gardner, because they actually looked up his name.
Yeah, no, we said, we're here to visit a friend who's at
Geyser Point.
And they're like, who is it? And then we're like, Scott Gardner. So they pull up the iPad. They're like, okay, yeah, he just checked in today. Have fun. But they were
going to turn us away, I think. And
Bill Smith?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, we guessed right. So they were a little more hesitant there. And even...
Then we went to Pop.
We went to Pop Century to visit Rick Forbes the last night. And
They checked
Rick's name.
Okay. I understand when you went to Wilderness Lodge, you guys were frustrated and you guys figured a new way out of the parking area. You guys went down the stairs,
heard it was a great way to go from the first the day before.
Quick out, right? Yeah, exactly.
The car wasn't there when we visited.
I couldn't see any damage either, so...
I was dying to see video of that person's face. Once that car starts going down the stairs, just the expression and the feeling of, what did I do?
I can't even imagine what was going through their mind. It's not even that big of a space to, even think that it's a road.
I could imagine. You're parked, and the attendant says, you're just going to do a turnaround right here. And they're like, oh, okay, right here? Uh-huh. The turnaround right here. Okay, right there,
It wasn't us. It was not us.
I will say, when we visited, as far as safety goes, I don't know if other people would agree with this or not, but at POP, I was very overwhelmed when we visited Rick. The lobby was...
Because Rick's special. You were overwhelmed because Rick's special, correct?
Right. So we get there, and it wasn't even as packed as what Rick said it was earlier. He had to wait, he said, about 45 minutes to get into the dining area.
Okay.
Like, he pre-ordered.
Yeah, not even to get into the dining area, to pick up his mobile order.
Oh, my God.
So, like, an hour before we got there, it was, like, the whole main area where you check in was kind of lined up with people to get in there. But when we got there, it was probably, like, 10 people deep. And I thought that was crowded with people in that area, not really social distancing. And we went out by the pool area to talk to Rick, and they had to wait to get in the pool because there was a capacity issue, you know, with not allowing too many people in there. So they're keeping people safe, but we never had that issue, obviously, at a deluxe resort with the capacity.
Yeah.
But if you're going to POP, that may be a slight problem with the waits. And
it was also a Friday night too, so there's probably a potential chance that a lot of locals are, you know, making it a weekend getaway type of a thing as well. Yeah. So it was really crowded though, and I know Rick had said, he can correct us if we're wrong, he had said that that was not the norm
every night. Yeah.
He didn't have that issue, so
but we were happy that we went our route earlier in the week and didn't run into that more often. So.
You know, you think about these things, you would never pay attention to that before, or that would, it would roll off your back. You wouldn't even pay attention to it.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, look at all these people having fun and that kind of stuff. And the age difference of our resort and POP, that was a huge thing too. We didn't see like any really young kids at the pool. We did, but anywhere else, there weren't kids running around. POP had kids
everywhere.
Yeah.
And our pool, even in our pool, and after seeing POP, I was like, oh, our pool was even kind of like, oh, you're getting too close. And there was like six families all together in the whole pool area.
And it's
like,
a massive pool. Gosh, it's massive too.
You swam right by me.
I was like, how dare he swim so
close? And then you see, like, you know, POP is like all of humanity.
I'm like making waves to push the kid away.
Okay. So which park, pick a park that embodied like the safety protocols and did the best job of it. Pick one of the four.
Epcot, I think, just with the space that they have there, and people weren't going there as much as the other places. So that was
nice.
I'd say that was the best.
I think that
space
they all did a really great job. I mean, the hand sanitizer, I hope that they keep that. The hand sanitizer, ever, you just get into such a habit. Every time you pass one, you use it. And like, even Britta, like by the end, she was like, every time you pass, and theme parks are disgusting. Like, how many times you come home from a trip and you end up with a cold right after you get home from the stress, from the heat, from germs all over everything. Like, I really hope that they keep those hand sanitizer stations in the, even if they did it at the front and the end of each queue, that's a huge enhancement.
Well, Stacey, think about that. You're right. So prior to this, 6 months ago, we're going to the theme park. We're grabbing the railing, right? We're in the treehouse. We're touching the railing going up. Then you immediately walk over, get a Dole Whip. You didn't wash your hands. And now you're eating the Dole Whip with your fingers. And like, you're shoveling it in. And you wonder how like you lived prior to that. And think, whoa, you know, absolutely, you need to keep that. That would seem to make sense.
Well, and even I was thinking, I'm like, oh, we're not touching anything when we're there. We're not touching the railings. I mean,
I was touching everything.
I was touching the railings every time I was walking through. I was like, do-do-do-do-do, touching all the railings. And as I'm doing it, I'm thinking to myself, I'm touching these railings. Like, I'm just doing it. But it's just naturally how you're doing it. I was like, hand sanitizer before you do anything.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It is really hard not to touch your masks, though. It's really hard not to, because they just get stuck to your face with the sweat and everything. So you're constantly kind of, I did my best to pull underneath here, to pull it away from my face. But there were times that I know I was, you know, touching the nose area. I have to say with the masks too, my number one souvenir, what I spent the most money on during my trip, face masks. Mm-hmm. because it was not even just like, oh, this is something I need to buy. It was like, oh my gosh, they have the cutest face masks.
Yeah, I was thrilled about that.
But I had my own money. I had 50 bucks from my birthday. And so that's what I spent my birthday money on. I think I have like 8 new masks. And I might have asked Rick Forbes to buy the 2 that I missed.
You might have.
I might have. And he might have sent me a picture of the Tiki Bird mask and the Haunted Mansion mask that he did buy me. So I'll be sending him some money for those. But
well, they're with us for a while. We'll be in Mask World for a while, Stacey.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking in Chicago too. Like I think people are gonna be wearing them for quite a while.
Yeah.
Even if things are a little quieter, you'd still be expected to wear them out. And
this might even be what goes forward for the flu and for colds and stuff. Schools might ask you to wear a mask if you are sick, you know. So it might be something that we...
So do we want to answer this question
here?
Yeah,
I got 2 questions. Scott Gerke, were you ever able to forget there was a global pandemic going on during your trip?
Stacey's saying no, and I'm like, yeah, there were times where I'm so used to the masks, like... living in Chicago, that I go outside and it's in my car, I know I'm going to wear it. Mm-hmm. So the fact that I was wearing it all day, that didn't make a huge difference to me. And when I hear people complaining about it, I'm just like, you know what? I got to be at Disney World. You know what I'm saying? Like, if this is what it takes for me to get there and make it safer for people, I'm going to wear it. And that was a great opportunity to do that, and it was fine. And there were times where I was thinking, oh, I'm at Disney World and you're walking past people and I forget, because in Chicago, I'll be like 6 feet apart. Definitely.
Yeah. That's true.
And there were times I would walk past and I'm like, there's people walking past me, but I'm not freaking out like I would be in Chicago. Not that I shouldn't have been freaking out. I probably should have been. But I did forget about things at times. And
yeah, there were definite times too when we'd get out of the car and I would just go and forget the mask and I'd have to be like, oh my gosh, I'm not, like, and Britta ran like this a few times because we forgot to put them on her. So those times did happen occasionally. Yeah. But for the most part, I think it was always there of our minds.
Yeah.
And things. And there were a few times in lines when I was like, oh, I forgot social distancing, like move back. So
at my job, though, they would define exposure not between like just a momentary exposure to somebody else. It has to be prolonged for a certain amount of time without masks. So even in those situations, you're taking the best protocols you can and the best safety measures you can. And honestly, if you were going to get sick, how many experiences have you had in Chicago where you could have gotten sick? And I was like so jealous the entire time because I thought, you know what? I understand the risks you're taking. But as a family, even during a pandemic, you still have to live and go forward. Or you could legitimately stay in your house and never leave your house. And, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months, a year, year and a half. And it's like, you're doing the best you can, and you're making the best decision you can. So,
it was a tough decision. Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie. I was, out of everybody, I'm probably the one most freaked out about things. We visited some people from Edcot in Indiana a few months ago, probably now. And when I visited there, they weren't wearing masks at the time. Not just the people we were with.
Indiana was not requiring
it at the time. And it freaked me out. Like, I was petrified being there. I was like, this is the worst decision I've ever had. And why am I doing this? And,
Especially after we met with the people.
Oh, right.
I was thinking of the people right now. I know those people too. Oh my gosh.
So like going into this, you know, you have this dread going to Florida as the numbers start peaking and you're thinking, what am I doing? Like, why am I putting my family at risk? And then you look deeper into it and, you know, we were lucky to see other people's stories before us going ahead of time and seeing their experiences, and it helped us feel a little more comfortable at that point.
Yeah.
That Disney is trying their best to do things and they're not going to put you at risk. You know, they don't want that, you know, they don't want the press for that.
Yeah.
So, things were looking good. And I was worried that, you know, in the 2 weeks we saw the Positanos go, that all of a sudden people would start going because it looked so great.
Yeah.
You know, and, it probably got a little more crowded, but, overall it's still really empty. And as you could tell by the announcement of the hours shortening even more, Disney knows it's it's still hurting. So
yeah, but we didn't share our trip like we normally do. I normally am all over Facebook with everything, and we were very careful of how we shared. We had a private Facebook group that was basically kind of invite only for a few of the groups that we're with, just because I didn't want to put out. I don't want people judging us and things like that. So it was definitely different in that way.
And like you said, you could choose to like stay in your house forever and like not get out at all. But we did do what we needed to do for safety. And like, we're doing what we're supposed to do with the masks
and with quarantine.
Staying away and quarantining when we get home, and we're not going out to put other people at risk. So,
and to be honest, this is the first thing we've done since March. We haven't seen friends. Like, we haven't seen Scott's mom lives four doors from us, and we've seen her maybe three times, and that was 6 feet apart with masks
in the
during
yard.
This time. Yeah. So like, we haven't gone anywhere but the grocery store, and if we've had to go to work.
Yeah. So we didn't take this decision lightly.
Yeah. Hang on. Let me stop you guys, because you don't even need to justify this or explain this, you know, to people.
No, I still feel like
you do need to. You do need to justify it a little bit, because you don't want to put other people at risk, you know, and we don't want to put other people at risk, and we wouldn't put other people at risk just for the sake of our own joy. You know, like, if we were actually putting somebody, if we were going like to a crowd and we were going to sit right next to them and do that kind of stuff, I wouldn't have gone to Disney if that was the case.
Okay.
So I'm justifying it just to say that that wasn't what was happening, and that's not what you're going to get there. And if you do, you probably shouldn't do it. Right. You know, so I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying that's not what we did.
You also don't want somebody watching this and saying, or listening to this and saying, oh, they had such a great time. Everything was safe and perfect for them. Then let's go. There are risks to go, and everybody has to make, I think Pete said it on the last episode, everybody has to do what's best for their family and make their own choices for their families.
Exactly.
And do their own research. Like, this is our experience. That experience very well might be completely different for another person that's going. So you have to make the decisions for yourself and do your own research, because this is a pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, this
you'd hate to like have us go on here and say, yeah, everything's perfect, you definitely should go, and then something happens to somebody. Like, it's still a risk, you know. And like I said at the beginning, I'm like, we're still healthy now, 6 days in, and you're hoping that the 14 days go by and everybody's fine and all that. But there is risks. So,
well, if you listen to the last show, I know we finished off with a statement that, you know, be kind and considerate with your words, because you don't need judgment. This decision was right for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You don't need it to be right for everybody else. It doesn't matter. They're not your family. This was right for you guys. And that's good enough for everyone who listens. And if anyone needs to give you business on it, honestly, Facebook block, delete, you know, you're gone. You know, you don't need that in your life. We face enough battles on every day in our life for things that aren't related to Disney. You don't need that here. So,
absolutely.
So
I would recommend, though, that people, you know, take the time off when they get back just to make sure they're all right. Because I think you should be considerate as far as that goes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, Lori Lightfoot's going to come hunt you down if you don't right now. I'm just saying.
I know, right? But I mean, that's the kind of thing, like, if you play things safely, as safely as you can,
yeah,
you know, then be kind to other people. This is being kind to other people. We're not going out and putting them at risk. You know, we're taking our 2 weeks off, and, you know, it worked for us.
And thankfully, our work situations allowed us to work from home for these 2 weeks.
Perfect.
So we are in a very blessed situation in that sense.
Right.
So,
last question before we go. Okay, so this was one that I remember, we're going to circle back from this one. At the end of your trip, did you feel you got your money's worth or more than your money's worth, considering the small crowds?
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. Again, we came home and we felt like that was a great trip, as far as we had enough time there, mm-hmm. and it was a good week to.
It was great
to get out of Chicago, you know, where we've been stuck for all this time and not have any freedom. So
I think it was phenomenal, because we got everything we wanted to get done in the parks, and we had resort time, where you have to give up one or the other if you want to do both during, you know, if you want to have a little bit of both.
Yes, great.
This was like a great balance, and the way that they stagger the openings, you get to sleep in And you don't have to feel like you're missing out on something if you do sleep in. So, I mean...
Yeah, out of all of our other trips, I hate getting up early. Like, you know, Stacy's usually the one waking me up and, like, telling me, we got to go to the parks. We got to get to rope drop.
It's not even just getting up early. And it's just feeling the stress of rushing and stuff. Like, yeah. We could both be up at 6 o'clock, but then you have to rush to
get... Yeah, so this time, you know, I think the earliest I got up was a 6:30 day for Animal Kingdom. And that wasn't pushing it because I usually wake up 6:37 for work. So it was a normal wake up time.
Nice.
So
nice.
That was great. Yeah.
Okay. So if anyone has any questions, Stace, Stacy Nyman, Scott Nyman, where are you going to find you?
Probably Facebook is the best way. Message on Facebook. Edcot Group is probably the best way to find us.
Okay.
We're an open book for the most part, for all things Disney at least.
Oh, let's be honest. If you followed Stacy, it's pretty much an open book all the time. So
true.
Bath pickles, anything that you want, it's out there.
So. I will also tell you how it is too, just
easy now. Be nice. All right. So I guess that's about it. I'm completely jealous. And actually, you know what? Your bravery. And this was brave, but like your bravery and willing to try this, like it's like completely like changes like the way people think about doing this because mm-hmm. it can be done safely. And it's not to say that, but I mean, even in a regular time, you could come home with a Disney crud, you know, and be sick for 4 days afterwards.
All the time, every time, yeah. You know,
so
we have to give props to the Positanos though, because honestly, without them going on their trip, we might not have gone on the trip.
Gotcha.
So it did help to see their experience and see people go before you. So they're the real pioneers here, like in Edcot, because they were there day one.
Right.
So it was good to see their trip go so well. And so
they put their heads down and ran into that brick wall for everybody.
They did.
Right? And they lived. So
they're like, we don't care what happens. We're just doing it.
Okay. All right. So for my friends, Stacy and Scott, and for myself, we'd like to thank you for listening today. Remember, you still have a couple weeks to get into the contest for the reviews. Stacey, did you see this cool mug that we're giving away here? Did you see that?
That is a very nice mug. Can I see the top of that one?
Oh, that's the hammer. That's the hammer lid, Stacey, that closes. Yes.
I have that one, and it keeps stuff hot for like 24 hours. Okay, it wasn't hot after 24 hours. But it was at least warm still when I dumped it into the sink because I forgot about it.
You have to drink your coffee faster than that, Stacy. I'm just going to tell you.
I don't like hot coffee.
All right, let me show you this one too as well. What do you think about the old Schoferhofer bar pull? What do you think about that?
That's pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing?
I have no idea what that is.
You know, it's the bar pool. So
it's like for the draft beer.
I'm just wondering the practical use to this. I don't know. It's a large pencil topper, but it's still the pool factor is really pretty cool there. So give us a review. Send us a screenshot. Direct message Stacy, Peter, Michael, myself, any one of us or a combination, you're in. And we're going to draw at the end of the month. And outside of that, guys, I think we're good for the day, right?
Yeah, Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. Have a good day, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Take care.